Hi, Jen. Welcome here.
Thank you, Maria. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Jennifer Boyne, and I am the Director of Education and Events for Soft Bones Canada, which is a national nonprofit organization. And we represent patients and families who have a rare disease. It's a genetic disease called hypophosphatasia, and we use HPP as a short form.
I'll just use HPP, and you will explain what this disease is.
Absolutely.
Right? So maybe we should start with it.
Okay.
What is HPP?
HPP, as I mentioned, is a genetic disease or disorder. People with this condition have low levels of, it's a chemical called alkaline phosphatase, and it affects the mineralization of bones and teeth. So normally, mineralization will assure you that you have hard and strong bones, but without it, bones and teeth become weak and softened, and often causes skeletal deformities or fractures, premature tooth loss, and often pain. And so, it's basically a rare genetic disease.
Why is this information particularly relevant for Old Colony Mennonite populations?
Generally speaking, they think, in terms of a rare disease, that there's about one case per 100,000 live births of this disease in Canada. However, in some populations, such as the Canadian Mennonite population, especially the population in Manitoba, that it's actually one per 2,500 newborns have HPP. So that's a significant increase in that particular population. And so I think that's one of the many reasons why I really wanted to reach out to your listeners to make sure that they had an opportunity to hear about this disease. Because again, as a rare disease, it's unlikely that they're going to hear about it in the first place. But especially given the numbers, it's important, I think, that the Mennonite population recognize how relevant it is to them.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get in contact with this bone disease?
Me in particular, I found out about the disease itself because I was basically being a Google doctor, and I was online and found out that this was relevant to me personally. In terms of my how I got in touch with you and in order to do this interview today, I actually live in the Elmer area. And mm-hmm. So when I heard that you had a radio station that would reach out to this particular population, I was really excited. And the fact that I'm so close. So it gave me an opportunity to hopefully reach out to the very people in the community that I live in.
Well, I'm very glad that you talk about it, because how would we know
exactly
what it is, right?
Exactly.
So what is your goal of this interview?
The goal really is to educate as many families as possible about HPP in general. Specifically, though, family and friends who may be living and struggling with the disease and not know it. One of the issues is that it's often either not diagnosed or it's misdiagnosed as something else. And so just to kind of raise awareness about the fact that this exists and to connect families who think this might be something that they've been dealing with in their families, because again, it's genetic, so it could have been going on for generations and they just don't know. And because it's once you're looking for it, it's not that hard to diagnose. That's one of my goals today, is just to make sure people are aware it exists, what some of the symptoms might be to look for, or signs that this might be what's happening. And then to know, where do I go for information? What's the next step? And then, is there someone or a group like ours that can help families?
Mm-hmm. So what are the symptoms or signs of this disease?
So unfortunately or fortunately, you know, they're varied. And that is one of the biggest issues. It varies in degree and in severity, and it can affect people differently at different ages. And I think that's one of the many reasons why it's not diagnosed properly right away, because it is so different. There are six different subtypes of HPP, and they're generally based on the age at which the symptoms present. So there's a prenatal, so typically it can be diagnosed before children are born through ultrasound. They'll realize that there are some skeletal issues that are present, and they may be able to diagnose. Then we have infantile, which means before a child turns 6 months of age. These babies may present as normal, but gradually there's an onset of poor feeding, a failure to thrive, low muscle tone, muscle weakness. Often the child's legs are bowed, or they may have thick ankles or wrists, and they may experience seizures as well. So often there is a premature fusion as well in the bones of the child's skull. and they could suffer from what's called flail chest, and that can lead to respiratory compromise and pneumonia. So it, again, these two forms are the most severe in children. Global statistics of HPP in infants that are less than 6 months of age, typically they have a mortality rate of 50% to 100%. Wow. So again, knowing the severity and the fact that this is, in fact, a lethal disease for that population, for the children, another reason why it's good for families to understand and to know to look for this within their family. Mm-hmm. Because if there is anything that can be done, we want to make sure, obviously, that families don't go through that kind of loss.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then beyond that, childhood or juvenile form of the disease is anyone who's diagnosed between 6 months and 18 years of age. So basically children. The initial diagnosis often comes from the premature loss of teeth well before the normal age of around 5. Often children lose their teeth without trauma. So as I mentioned to you before the interview, one of the ways that they knew to look for this in me was my teeth had fallen out and I hadn't bumped my face. Nothing had happened that would have caused my teeth to come out, and they came out root and all, and they were very malformed, the root itself. You could see there was mineralization issues. Children may also have a very short stature, delayed walking, a waddling gait due to like a muscle weakness, their stiffness, swelling, pain in the joints, the muscles, that's another common thing. Signs of what they call rickets. In fact, that's something that they used to diagnose this as. It was a form of rickets. Again, bowed legs, knock knees, enlarged wrists and ankle joints. So that's the sort of the childhood form. Then there's the adult form, and this usually presents sort of in middle age, where adults then can develop these metatarsal stress fractures, pseudo fractures in their femur, like their hips, their thighs. Breaks tend to heal very poorly, and that's another issue. And then there's often significant bone pain, arthritis, type symptoms. And then again, those poorly healing fractures that can lead to some immobility. And often adults will remember later on in life that they lost their teeth early, but they may not have had any other symptoms. And that was certainly the case for me. I not only work with the hypophosphatasia with the Soft Bones Canada group, but I'm a patient as well. I have hypophosphatasia, and it wasn't until I was an adult that we really understood what the disease, what that meant for me. Mm-hmm. And then we also have something called odontohypophosphatasia, and that is it is the least severe form, and it really is only affecting people's teeth. There is no other symptoms, and they may have premature loss of teeth as children. Their teeth often present with a lot of carriers. There's enlarged pulp chambers, root canals. And then finally, there is a benign prenatal HPP, which basically means that although they show signs of having it before they're born, somehow spontaneously their body does kind of kick into gear, and then they show no significant skeletal improvement. Mm-hmm. So they rebound and sort of, and so it doesn't end up causing them the same difficulties as it does with the other children who are born with the disease. So yeah, so those are, like I said, there's a lot of varying degrees of symptom, and again, depending on when a child or a person is diagnosed, that often dictates kind of how severe the disease is for them.
Mm-hmm. So Jennifer, you mentioned that you have this HPP disease. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your parents and your mom? How did they feel about it?
So when I had mentioned that I lost my teeth early. Mm-hmm. So luckily my parents, you know, were able to get me to a dentist who recommended a specialist. And I ended up at the University of Western Ontario, the dental school, and they started doing tests. And, you know, by luck or by fate or whatever you want to call it, there was a doctor, Dr. White, who diagnosed hypophosphatasia. And he knew a little bit about it. He knew enough that it would affect long bones. So they did x-rays of all my long bones, as well as obviously looking at my teeth. And they decided, well, we think it's just her teeth. And so they basically sent me on my way with my family and said, make sure she has good dental care, and that should be it. And because they really didn't know any more than that, that was it. They really didn't give my parents any information. We were way pre internet. Mm-hmm. And so there was no way for them, I don't think, to access that kind of information. And I wasn't having any other issues that they could see or, you know, could tell. So, okay, well, then we'll make sure she has dental care. And I spend a lot of time at the dentist. Mm-hmm. The dentist and I have always had a very close relationship because I spent a lot of time there with cavities. I had some pitting in my front teeth when I was growing up. Again, my enamel just isn't formed properly, even in my adult teeth. And so that has caused, again, you tend to have more issues in general, but again, cavities and breaking of my teeth and things like that. So anyway, that's the dental side. So that's how it was diagnosed at first. And then I didn't hear the word hypophosphatasia again until I was in my 20s. And that was because I turned 25-ish. I was done university and I was having a lot of pain, a lot of like pain in my muscles and my neck and some leg pain. And it just wasn't making sense to me. And so, of course, I started becoming a medical tourist and I would go to various doctors who would give me various, you know, ideas about what it might be, what it could be. They'd poke, they'd prod, they'd take pictures, and then really never could come up with what it was. Mm-hmm. And of course, offered me, you know, drugs for the pain or for symptoms, but never really could tell me what was going on, which was so frustrating. And so eventually I continued my search and I was, like I said to you, I was my Google doctor and I was getting online and I was trying to find something that would help me understand. And I did finally talk with my mom and I said, do you remember that weird thing I had when I was a kid? And she said, yeah, I think so. I'll find the word. So she said hypophosphatasia. Kept looking it up online and it was saying about bones. Everything was about bones. And I thought, well, I'm not breaking bones, so maybe that's not it. And then little by little, I finally found just a small thing about muscle pain and joint weakness. And so I kind of latched onto that. I made a few phone calls and I was really super fortunate. I happened to phone a number of a doctor in St. Louis who I now know is the guru almost worldwide for this disease. Mm-hmm. And he actually spoke to me on the phone. And I asked him, I know you can't diagnose me over the phone, but is this something that this could be my case? And he says, absolutely. And he really gave me a lot of direction. And that was huge for me because it helped me understand it wasn't just my imagination,
yeah,
right? Like this mm-hmm. was legitimate pain and there was something going on. And like I said, my teeth were bad because of this and it was affecting other systems. So fast forward a little, I was able to, again, online, I found this group online and she was Canadian. Her name was Debbie Tyfer. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll try and call her. She says she's got some kind of a group here in Canada. So I called her. And as it turned out, she and another woman whose name was Marjorie Callan, they started a group years ago. And so through them, I was able to get some information and this doctor. But it was hard to get information and it was so frustrating. And then even when I finally knew what it was, I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know who to talk to or what to do. And that is the whole reason that this group was formed, was to make sure that other families and other patients don't have to go through that they know that there is a group out there that can help them access information,